So my message this evening, thank you all, is a question. Who gave you all this authority? When we talk about authority, we need to be sure we are talking from the same point of reference. Too many believers confuse authority with responsibility, and they want all of the former and none of the latter. It doesn't work. That's not the way things are done in the kingdom. Of the 13 Hebrew words translated as authority 28 times in the Old Covenant, the first word and most often used 12 of those times is not often thought of as authority. However, it gives insight into the foundational teaching of the authority believers have through the laying on of hands. In Genesis 16:9, we read, "Then the angel of the Lord said to her, 'Return to your mistress and submit yourself to her authority.'" The Hebrew word that's used here is yad. It's a primitive word. It means the open hand indicating power or a means or direction. Another meaning for yad related to authority is beside or border, which we'll come back to in a few minutes. Of the 9 Greek words translated as authority 79 times in the New Covenant, most of us are familiar with the first and most often used 65 times, including all 11 times authority is mentioned in the book of Revelation. In Matthew 7:29, we read, "When Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes." The Greek word used here is exousia. It means privilege, freedom, delegated influence, authority, jurisdiction, liberty, power, right, and strength. Now I'm going to please Lisa for a minute, because to complete our establishing of a definitional foundation, let's go back about 200 years and look at a few things Noah Webster had to say about authority. The first definition he gave to authority is legal power, or a right to command or to act, as the authority of a prince over subjects or of parents over children. It also means power, rule, or sway. You know, you can forbid the enemy to have sway where you walk because he has no authority anymore. The second definition is the power derived from opinion. You know, there's 8 billion opinions in the world, but only his counts. It comes from respect or esteem, its influence or character of office. Well, we have a lot of characters in office today. The third definition is testimony. Do you know that your testimony carries authority? That's what the Bible says. It means witness, or the person who testifies, as the gospels or the evangelists are authorities for the miracles of Christ. The fourth definition Webster used was weight of testimony or credibility. You have authority when you are credible. The fifth definition is weight of character, respectability, or dignity. The sixth definition is warrant, order, or permission. And the seventh is government, the persons or the body exercising power or command as local authorities of the states. So this is the foundation I'm teaching from the Hebrew, the Greek, and Noah Webster in the English. This is what authority is. So let's look at the question which might have been posed to Yeshua. You see this, I'm going to read it from the Passion Translation, Matthew 21:23. "After this, Jesus went into the temple courts and taught the people. The leading priests and Jewish elders approached him and interrupted him and asked, by what power do you do these things? Who granted you the authority, exousia, to teach here? In other words, those bound by religious spirits with no true authority asked Jesus, who gave you the legal power, permission, and right to teach and command powers to cease and desist? Did Jesus give you all authority? This is what he gave it to us for. Do you know what the last thing Jesus did on earth was? What was the very last thing he did? In Acts chapter 1, he ascended. This side of the room had it silently. He ascended into heaven. Acts 1:9. And when he had said this, even as they were looking at him, he was caught up, and a cloud received him and carried him away out of their sight. Jesus ascended into the third heaven, and he made the way for you and me to reside there now. Not sometime in the sweet by and by, but now. This is where we are supposed to be, communing face to face with the Father. But that's another message. True authority is always delegated from the third heaven. Jesus' authority, while he walked the earth, came from the third heaven because he had an intimate relationship with the Father, filled with the Holy Spirit, just like you and me. Intimate relationship with the Father, in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Spirit. As believers filled with the Holy Spirit, we walk in resurrection power and ascension authority. We have all authority because he ascended and he gave it back to us. Because our hands reached out for the wrong fruit in the garden, we lost the authority. But when Jesus ascended, he gave it all back to us to legislate the kingdom and the will of God on earth. Though we reside in the third heavens, we war in the second heaven to exercise the authority of Yeshua's victory in the first heaven here on earth. So we breathe in the first heaven, we war against principalities and powers in the second heaven, but we get all of our authority from the throne room of the Father in the third heaven. Let's learn from the question religion posed to Jesus by examining how he responded. I'm going to read Matthew 21, 24 through 27. And Jesus said to them, I will also ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John was from what source? From heaven or from men? And they began reasoning among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say to us, then why did you not believe him? But if we say from men, we fear the people, for they all regard John as a prophet. And answering Jesus, they said to him, we do not know. He also said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. Where did Jesus' authority come from? Submission to the Father. Do you think the religious spirit could have heard that? And because they couldn't talk about the authority his cousin had to baptize, he didn't talk about the authority his father gave him. For many believers, submission is a dirty word, something they are in rebellion against, and the reason they have limited or no authority over the powers of darkness. Submission is the willingness to stand under someone so we can stand against something greater. Submission is the willingness to stand under someone so we can stand against something greater. Several years ago, Holy Spirit spoke to me about dealing with something. And my response was, Lord, I thought we dealt with that over 10 years ago. Have you ever said that to the Lord? He responded, yes, but I want to take you deeper so you can stand against the greater darkness which is coming. I submitted, and he dealt with the issue. If Holy Spirit says we're going to go and do this, let him take you there, because the harvest that's coming is going to need us to be free enough to set them free. When we are properly aligned and submitted to righteous authority, we are released to walk in greater measures and spheres of authority as ambassadors of the King of Heaven. His name is Adonai Sabaoth. Are you an ambassador of the King of Glory?
Yes.
Yes? Some of us know who we are. Do you know ambassadors have no opinion on matters? Did you know that?
No.
Ambassadors can't do news conferences and express their opinion. They can only express the opinion of the one they represent. Just like with prophecy, releasing the word of the king and the timing of the king brings the breaker anointing of the king. That's another message that we'll get into sometime in the future. As an ambassador, you have to learn what Father is saying and when he says to say it. Not too soon and not too late, because his word and his timing bring his breaker anointing. So let's look for a moment on how authority increases through submission to covenantal unity. Just before his death, Moses spoke of revelation of the increase of authority for victories over the powers of darkness, which comes through unity. It's the only time we see this in Scripture. In Deuteronomy 32:30, how could one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight unless their rock had sold them and the Lord had given them up? 40 years ago, some of you don't remember 40 years ago. During a worship service, I was up in the sound booth, and Holy Spirit spoke to me the mathematical progression which he had shown Moses here, and how exponential release of authority comes over darkness. He told Moses, one puts to flight, 1,000. Two put to flight, 4 put to flight, 100,000. 8 put to flight, 1,000,000. 16 put to flight, 10 million. 32 put to flight, 100 million. 64, if 64 of us could walk in unity, we could put 1,000,000,000 demonic entities to flight. What are we waiting for, church? Oh, we got to get out of the way and let him be king. As I mentioned earlier, 1 Chronicles 7:29 says the Hebrew word yad is also translated as borders, which speaks to boundaries or limits of our delegated authority. We all know what Jesus said in Luke 10:19. I'm going to read it out of the Passion Translation first. Now you understand I have imparted to you all my authority to trample over this kingdom. You will trample over every demon before you and overcome every power Satan possesses. Absolutely nothing will be able to harm you as you walk in this authority. And this is how the Amplified reads for Luke 10:19. Behold, I have given you authority and power to trample on serpents and scorpions, and physical and mental strength and ability over all the power the enemy possesses, and nothing shall harm you in any way. The key to remember is here is authority, or exousia, Jesus delegates to us is always greater than the power, the dunamis, the enemy has. But where? Where do you have this authority? Paul gives us insight into this answer in his second letter to the Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 10:13. But we will not boast beyond our measure, but within the measure of the sphere which God apportioned to us as a measure to reach even as far as you. So there's two keys to understand delegated authority revealed in the Greek words Holy Spirit gave Paul in this verse. The first Greek word is metron. It means measure. We get our English word meter, like 3 inches more than a yard. By implication, it means a limited portion or degree. So you have a limited portion or degree. The second word is canon, K-A-N-O-N, or a rule. We talk about the canon of Scripture. This is where it comes from. It's a standard of faith and practice, and by implication, it's a boundary. That is, it's a sphere of activity or rule. Do you know you each have spheres of rule and spheres of activity? How many of you live someplace? I'm glad. Even the homeless people live someplace. They have a sphere of authority. Yours is a little bit greater. Does the U.S. ambassador to Israel have any authority to speak for the president of the United States in Nigeria? No. Does the U.S. ambassador to England have any authority to speak for the president of the United States in Japan? They have boundaries for the authority that is delegated to them. Do you get the picture of the delegated authority Father has for us? Are you an ambassador for the King of Glory?
Yes.
Three people. Whether you know it or not, that's what you signed up to for when you said yes to Jesus. Ambassadors carry the weight of delegated authority. You have all the weight of heaven in the places where Father has called you to walk. There's some of you watching online, you need to hear that again. You have all the authority and weight of authority of heaven where Father has called you to walk. I got asked that question this week. He's given it to you. What were you going to do with it? If you remember last week's message, it comes from your voice. This is a pay decade, and your voice carries the authority of heaven when you speak it. Darkness shudders, which is why it wants us not to speak. Micah 6:8, I will spare you. I would normally sing this. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does Jehovah require of you but to do justice and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God? The message of Micah 6:8 reads, but he has already made it plain how to live, what to do, what God is looking for in men and women. It's quite simple. Do what is fair and just to your neighbor. Be compassionate and loyal in your love, and do not take yourself too seriously. Take God seriously. See, if I want to walk in authority, he's got to be preeminent in all things. Amen. Humility is the key for walking in greater measures of kingdom authority needed to take down the giants on your path. Are you facing giants?
Yes.
The way to topple them is to get lower before God. Someone once told me they're going to get lower because when the giants fall, they don't want to get hit by what Father hits them with. He wants to take things out of the lives of people he's calling you to minister to. And the only way to do that is to walk humbly before him. I can be saved anywhere, but I can only be righteous where the Lord has called me to live for him. In other words, the delegated all authority Jesus has given us over darkness is limited to the spheres of influence he has called us to steward for his glory, honor, and praise. Right now, for Casey and me, it's in Western New York State. 39 and a half years ago, he asked us to stay here. We now understand why and have for 25 or 30 of those years, because our assignment isn't finished. It has to do with the land. You have places where the Father has given you all the delegated influence and authority of heaven. The question is, will you use them? The authority of his blood and his name in the places he calls you to go allows us to set captives free and equip them to live lives as overcomers for the King of Glory. It's not just about getting someone saved. It's about discipling them so they can disciple others and the kingdom of God can expand everywhere. It's not the pastor's job to disciple. It's not the apostle's job to disciple. It's not the evangelist's job to disciple. It's not the teacher's job to disciple. It's not the prophet's job to disciple. It's every believer's job to disciple. Some of you remember this from years ago, but we were supporting an evangelist, and he spoke at one of our services, and we went out to lunch with him and the worship team because everyone on the worship team was about his age. And during the meal, he leaned over to me and he said, "Al, I've come to realize it's not how many people I lead to the Lord it's important, it's how many people I baptize." And he went on and on, and I said to him by name, "I've come to realize it's not how many I lead to the Lord and how many I baptize, but it's how many I'm discipling who are discipling others, because when I disciple and my disciples are discipling, the kingdom is multiplying." He said, "Oh, you're right." Every believer is supposed to be exercising the authority Jesus gave it to us. So let me conclude with a few examples. You didn't know I could be so short, did you? Let me give you a few examples of who gave us all this authority. The first was when I received a phone call from an aide to an apostle requesting permission to come into our region. So one of my functions apostolically in this region is to work with the other apostles to determine what voices the Lord is really bringing to our region. And so they're on this phone call, they're saying, "Well, Apostle so-and-so says they are supposed to come," the aide and the apostle. So you always do it two by two. That was the only biblical thing I heard in our conversation. "And we're supposed to cut off the head of Leviathan in your region." And I said, "Oh, well, we recognize Apostle so-and-so, but they have no apostolic authority in our region. They have it in their region where the Lord's called them to, but they don't have it here." Do you know what happens when someone comes into your region and exercises authority? Well, I'll tell you in the next example. So I said, "Which head of Leviathan are you going to cut off?" "What do you mean, which head of Leviathan?" You know, the Bible says Leviathan has seven heads. And when you cut them all off, you got to cauterize what you cut off, and you got to watch the tail, because when you cut off one of the heads, the tail starts thrashing. And most people, if you ever saw someone wrestle with an alligator, they let go of the mouth because the tail is thrashing. You know, that's a mistake, letting go of the mouth. So I said, "Well, how do you know what you're going to go after when you get here?" And the aide said, "Well, we were hoping we could use your spiritual mapping, research intercession, things we've been doing." Oh, by the way, we had been working for 10 years at that time to remove all of the underpinning things that gave Leviathan legal right here. We weren't ready to deal with Leviathan in this region yet. And I said, "Oh, that's interesting." I said, "Well, whose intercessors are going to intercede for you while you're out doing this activity in our region?" They said, "Well, we were hoping you would assign your intercessors to help us." I said, "Oh. And who's going to provide worship so you have an angelic covering going out before you?" And they said, "Well, we were hoping you would appoint a worship team." I said, "In other words, you're not ready to do this." I told them, "I am not going to delegate my authority to invite Apostle so-and-so into our region, because it is not time to do that assignment in our region." And before they hung up, they said, "Oh, one more question. Can you tell us your counterpart in Buffalo? Because we're supposed to do this in Buffalo too." And I said, you can call around Buffalo and see if you can get someone to help you. You have a sphere of authority that you have the right to maintain. Don't invite people in just because they said God told us. I've had people come up to me and say, God said you're supposed to go with us on this assignment. And I said, thank you. When I hear God tell me I'm supposed to go with you on the assignment, I'll get back in touch with you. Do you hear from God? Yes. Don't let someone else tell you God said. Oh, wait a minute. Isn't that what the serpent said? Did God really say? Second one. People know that when we travel internationally and we're going to be someplace for an extended period of time, we always take a Shabbat. So when we finished ministering in Kuching, which is in Sarawak, which is East Malaysia on the island of Borneo. So now you know where we were. In the middle of the South China Sea. On the largest island in the middle of the South China Sea. We finished up Sunday evening, and our hostesses knew that Monday was going to be our Shabbat, so we went on a picnic, we went out someplace, and they said, oh, would you like to go see the State Museum? Kuching is the capital of Sarawak, like Albany is for New York. And we said yes. Now, I'm a speed museum person. Casey's laughing. I see something, if it interests me, I stop, I read it, and then I move on. Casey and our hostesses are just, oh, look at that. Oh, look at the weave on that basket. See how they use the green and the white? And so I'm seeing what I want to see, and I'm ahead of them, and I turn the corner, and I go through this hall. And I walk through the hall rather quickly, saw what I needed to see, and then came back. That night when we ministered, because our Shabbat goes from Sunday night to Monday night, one of the people said, did you bind anything today? We were teaching on spiritual warfare. And I said, no. And they said, why not? And I said, because I love you too much. And they said, what? I said, I have all authority. I could have bound it and cast it out. Well, why didn't you? I said, if I had bound it and cast it out and then left, what would happen? It would bring seven others worse than it with it. So that's eight. That's a new demonic beginning. I said, I love you too much to do that. Sister, what are you talking about? I said, when I turned down this hall in the museum, I walked through the headhunters hall because they had all been headhunters. They were big skulls. They were little shrunken skulls. They were all the implements that they used in their worship as headhunters. Well, why didn't you bind it? I said, I already told you why I didn't bind it. All I said is, spirit of death and premature death, you are not permitted to speak to me or Casey as long as we are here, and you cannot speak to any of our audiences as long as we are addressing them. Did I exercise my authority? I forbid it to have say or sway or influence in our meetings. They understood why I didn't cast it out. The third has to do with worship in pre-service, the King of Glory. How many of you know that we just finished last Monday a 28-day welcoming the King of Glory into New York State assignment? Well done. We accomplished our goal. There are so many people upset at what happened on the elections on Tuesday. I said, we weren't called to pray about the elections. We were called to welcome the King of Glory into our towns, our city, our counties, and our state. How many of you remember what happened at 7 o'clock here last Saturday? Shofars. We had five shofars blowing, four in every direction and one also facing toward the east. Every county in New York State was invited to blow the shofar with the New York City intercessors at 7 o'clock last Saturday night. The assignment ended Monday. How do I know we were successful? When we sounded the shofars, a shout arose in the heavens. And if you don't have a shofar, because your esophagus looks like a shofar, you can shout and sound your shofar. Father, last Sunday morning in Nebraska, don't you love Holy Spirit? Prompted Prophet Hank Kuhneman to release a 10-minute prophecy about a new beginning and a start in New York, New Jersey, New Hampshire. Most of the word was about New York, and it was about don't get hung up on what happens. Why? Because you just welcomed, he didn't say this, the King of Glory in. Who is greater, the King of Glory or the Governor of New York? Who is greater, the King of Glory or the Mayor of New York City? Who is greater, the King of Glory or the President of the United States? Why are we welcoming the King of Glory in? Because he has a host. His name is Adonai Sabaoth. You can read about it in Psalm 24, verses 7 through 10. His most favorite name, Jesus, is Adonai Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of angel armies. Every time he comes, he brings armies of angels with him. How many of you would rather have an army of angels around you than all of the social services we can muster? The King of Glory assignment is not over. It's officially ended because we were told to do this for 28 days. As often as you welcome the King of Glory, guess who comes?
King of Glory.
The King of Glory. As often as you moan and groan and complain about who's in office, guess what you get? The demonic cloud of subterfuge, chaos, and confusion that hangs around those who grumble and complain. King of Glory, we welcome you. Before we pray, I want to thank those of you who sold into alms, because many people did, but we've been able to help at least five families who didn't have SNAP benefits this week. Thank you. That's because you welcome the King of Glory. And oh, by the way, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That's Psalm 24:1. That's how we started tonight. It's all his. Let him direct you where he wants to go. Father, I thank you that you have given us all authority. You've given us authority over the powers of darkness, over the rulers of wickedness in heavenly places, over everything which is trying to exalt itself against you. Father, I thank you. I ask you to show us how to step responsibly into the authority that you've delegated to us, so that through us, you can legislate heaven into the earth realm, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our villages, our towns, our cities, our county, our state, and across this nation. Lord, raise up your sons and daughters as ambassadors of the King of Glory to speak what you put upon our hearts when you say speak, so we will see blind eyes open. We will see mute speak. We will see the deaf hear. We will see the infirmed healed, and we will see the King of Glory do miracles. Lord, we sang, dead bones live. We say, show us how to move in your authority so we can speak the life of Jesus to dead bones and see them come alive. Father, I send your sons and daughters into the places you've called them to walk in authority. And I ask you to equip them with grace and compassion to release your authority and see captives set free and bow their knee to Jesus. In your holy name we pray. Amen.